Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Lincoln. Hope it picked up. I just hit you in the head.
Oh.
Good. You tell me what we just watched, considering you're the one that chose it. Why don't we just rant, Lincoln? Go ahead, say it. Why don't you say it with a smile on your face? Why don't you be happy with your life choices? Go ahead.
Multiple Razzie winner, Jack and Jill.
God damn it.
By Adam Sandler.
Starring Adam Sandler.
As both Jack.
And Adam Sandler.
And Jill.
And other people.
Like Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes.
Al Pacino.
Shaquille O'Neal.
David Spade.
Drew Carey.
Jared Fogle.
Oh my god. Where to begin with this movie, dude? Where do we begin?
God help the people that rented these to me. I don't know how they...
I'm pretty sure they have you on suicide watch somewhere. You chose to rent Happy Madison's Jack and Jill. Which is pretty unanimous that it's terrible.
I wasn't expecting it to be this bad.
Far worse than I thought it would be.
I was expecting it to be an incompetent comedy with stupid humor. So, i.e., like, Little Nicky.
Yeah.
That is what I thought I was in for.
No.
Not something that was worse than Pixels. This was worse than
Pixels. This was worse than Pixels, yeah.
I don't know how.
It's not funny at all.
No.
It's not well done.
No.
It is one of the longest feeling movies I've ever sat through.
Oh, God. Yeah, because...
I thought we were over halfway done. You paused it, and we were 23 minutes into this film.
And then...
But we already had 2 acts worth of stuff thrown at us.
And then Lil Wolverine called me, what
seemingly
I thought was...
Half an hour later, 10 minutes.
That was it.
10 minutes. I'm pulling my hair out right now.
We paused this multiple times. We had to pause this movie just to collect ourselves. And each time that we paused it, it was only like...
Just a few minutes. It was...
And it felt like hours.
This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I know it feels like I've said that way too many times since we started recording these. But this is the worst movie I've seen for the podcast to date. Worse than Pixels...
Worse than
other ones we haven't done episodes on yet.
I think the main issue
with
this... Pixels
had a story.
Yeah, it doesn't have a story, and it doesn't remotely try to be funny in any way, shape, or
form. I think it tries to be funny.
Not really, because... Like,
the farting? That's not funny?
Because all they do is just throw in farting.
And when the dude adjusts your boobs?
Mm-hmm.
And David Spade's a woman? Remember that?
You did call that David Spade was going to be in the movie, though.
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
Yeah.
Who else is going to be here? David Spade?
What, the first 2 minutes of the movie, it's like, oh, it's Tim Meadows. Oh, look, it's Dana Carvey. Oh, look, it's Nick Swartzen. Oh, like, oh my god. They're just throwing everyone at you at once. There's so many cameos in this movie. Like,
so the movie starts out...
on a commercial for Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
With Regis Philbin.
Yep, Regis Philbin's in it.
And a colon puppet?
I think that was... Yeah.
It's really dumb.
Gosh, let me play footsie with you.
You're creeping me out
right
now.
This is the only thing that gives me happiness right now.
It starts with that, and they're like, we need to get Al Pacino in this now for Dunkachino. Oh, and my sister's coming. What? And then he picks her up at the airport.
Yep.
Like, immediately.
There's a lot of chugging Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, because he's stressing out over the Dunkachino Pacino commercial he has to get. Which we'll get into that more, maybe. So his sister comes, has Thanksgiving dinner with him and his adopted tape family.
Yeah.
And then there's a homeless man there.
It's never explained.
He just lives in the woods right outside their house.
I'm just cool with it.
There's a lot of anti-Jewishness.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the movie, but Adam Sandler's like, oh, you can't say that. Only I can say that. But you said it. It's your movie, dude.
And there's also the atheist stuff.
Atheist stuff.
I didn't understand the humor.
And your sister's ugly. And Jared Fogle is in it. But luckily, he's not in any scenes with the kids. So, that's a plus. Yeah. You all right? I mean, the one Adam Sandler and Katie Holmes adopted Indian son, which, oh yeah, there's anti-Indian stuff in it.
Oh my god, there's so much fucking
who likes to tape things to himself.
So much Mexican racism.
There's a lot of
I'm kidding.
There's a lot of racism, but it's not racist because they call it out and say, hey, you can't say that. It just makes it more awkward because Adam Sandler's, I mean, especially knowing about the Stupid Six, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, how that all the Native American people dropped out
because it was, like super racist.
Yeah, they're like, you are fucking racist.
Yeah, so, to me, the irony of this movie was pretty amusing to me. Only funny thing about this movie
is Jared Fogle and racism.
The Jared Fogle's fighting for the time. I was like, well, at least we have something to laugh about. It's Jared Fogle's in here. Drew Carey, because we need her to be on The Price is Right until she gets knocked out by the wheel.
And they give her gifts for being knocked out.
Well, she doesn't sue.
Well, how would she sue if that was her fault?
It's do you not understand that people sue for things that are their fault all the time?
I guess I didn't think about that.
Blame the old lady at McDonald's coffee.
No, because that was a legit thing.
No, it's her damn fault. It's coffee.
Did you... No, there... Alright, you motherfucker, and everybody listening to this. You need to watch this, like, little mini documentary on that, and it talks about how that she had, like, crazy bad burns. There are pictures, and it's disgusting. But still, she was justified by that.
It's coffee.
Yeah, but they're fucking stupid, and they made the coffee, like... molten lava temperature.
Maybe people like molten lava.
No, because she dropped it on her 90-year-old snatch and it fucking melted through like alien blood.
Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe she should have got an iced coffee.
I don't even think they had iced coffee.
Maybe she doesn't need a fucking coffee.
This was like 19...
Maybe she should have got a soda. Maybe a Sprite. No, because... Maybe a nice Sprite.
No, because you gotta wake up a little bit in the morning, so you gotta get a coffee.
Nah, whatever.
You gotta get a coffee and you gotta drop it and you gotta get 50-degree burns.
Alright, whatever. It would have been better than watching Jack and Jill. I hope they make a second one, truly. Because I really want to know what happens to Pookie and Pagoda, or whatever she called him.
Why in the fuck do you remember that?
Oh, it wasn't Pookie. It was Pokey and...
It would... I don't even know.
Pagoo-goo? Pagago?
Things happen. I felt... I reverted back to the metal
save. I only know because
like
the end, the touching scene of this movie... I don't even give a fuck. The very end. Touching scene is in some gibberish language.
Oh, that's right. And it's in the middle of like a bar on New Year's and everybody stops what they're doing to pay
attention. Listen to this gibberish, which I guess maybe they just walked into an actual bar and they just, that's how Adam Sandler talks. So they just were watching the show. Johnny Depp. Maybe Johnny Depp was just hanging out on set with his Bieber shirt.
I just want to know how much he got paid for it. I want to know how much Al Pacino got paid for it.
Hopefully a lot. I really think what Al Pacino at the end is watching his commercial and he says, burn this, burn every copy. Anyone that's ever seen it must be destroyed. Yeah. I truly think that they just kind of had a hidden camera. And they had just got back from the premiere of Jack and Jill. And he's like, no, just destroy it. Destroy it.
I want to know how quiet the theater was when they showed it. Like, to think of Al Pacino and Johnny Depp sitting there as they watch a 5-minute-long fart joke. Does that make them feel good about their careers and life choices?
Probably. Johnny Depp was in Tusk. I don't think he gives a fuck.
But Tusk was a competent movie compared to this.
Yeah. Most things were. Alright, Lincoln, you want to give us a plot breakdown? Go. What was Jack and Jill about?
They go to dinner and shit, and then she... Out of nowhere, he's just like, I fucking hate you. So she flees to the woods.
Runs into the woods.
Yeah. And then the rest of the movie, from my understanding, is that Al Pacino wants to bang Jill.
He's kind of stalking her.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
And Adam Sandler wants her to bang him so he can get him in the commercial.
And that's the plot.
That is the entire movie.
And then they go on a cruise ship. And then she gets... Well, Adam Sandler dresses in drag and gets kidnapped by Al Pacino in his rape dungeon. And he tries to seduce her with wine and...
A strange choice to have Adam Sandler dress as his sister and pretend to be her in this movie. When he's already dressing as his sister and pretending to be her for the movie.
It's meta-comedy, Kyle.
One of those words you used. I don't think he used it correctly. Comedy. Because comedy usually involves laughter. Humor. Chuckle.
I laughed when... Okay, so when the fart scene was going on... I'm going to talk about the fart scene a lot because it's the most insane...
The chimichanga bombs.
So, we were sitting there and that was going on. And I saw out of the corner of my eye, like, your hand was up and your head just slowly was gravitating towards your hand. And as the farts kept getting louder and louder, you were pressing harder into your hand.
That's so mad. They just kept going with it. And going with it. And then even after she got out of the bathroom, they're still spraying stuff. And but why? Why? Why are fart jokes funny to anyone over the age of 10?
Because that was legitimately 10 minutes. A 10-minute long segment. Because she's in the car with...
She's in the car, the then guy, she's in the bathroom.
And then she's in the bathroom.
Then they're talking.
And
then
they're talking and... Yeah.
Why is it funny? Why are farts funny? They're not. I don't find them... The only thing that I think I'd have given up because I just kept begging for one laugh was when he called her in her voicemail.
You laughed at that?
Nah. It's the only thing that was somewhat even close to a joke.
I thought you
were sitting next to me. You know I didn't laugh to it.
That's what I thought. I was like, I did not hear it.
It's the only thing they did that I'm like, that was a joke. Mm-hmm. I get that was a joke. Like, her getting knocked out by the wheel and Price... Why was she even on the Price is Right? I don't know.
Why were they on the Price is Right? Also...
Why did his son tape things to his body?
But that only happens the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Why was that a thing, though? Why was the little girl like Wednesday Addams? Dressing up her dolls like herself?
Yeah, that was never explained either.
There's a lot of whys.
Why were in the very beginning montage?
Why was Norm MacDonald hiding in the bathroom on his date with Jill when he could have just, you know, left?
Yeah, because it seemed like he was there for like 3 hours.
Instead he was like a spider monkey clung to the light. Why did Katie Holmes sign a contract to be in this?
Maybe was this her Scientology days?
It had not. Yeah.
Was this pre-Scientology?
Let's say it's 2011.
Okay.
I think she was still wrapped up in that. Maybe I don't know. She looked healthy in this, so I think that might have been post-Scientology. She didn't like a human skeleton.
I feel like if it's post-Scientology, it's probably because she had a nervous breakdown and was like, you know what?
You can't falter then.
You know, I'll take this movie role.
Acting-wise, she was okay in this. But she was like the straight man in this.
Yeah.
And so she was fine. I don't fault her. I don't.
I fault every other person involved.
I do.
I 100% fault Al Pacino.
Fuck Al Pacino. I don't know what he's doing. And he even mocked himself throughout. He quoted The Godfather. He was doing Richard III on stage. And don't remind people of how you used to be talented. Don't do that, Al. Fucking Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, is it ShamWow guy's in this.
ShamWow guy. They got him, broke him out of prison, apparently. Wasn't he in prison for a while? Christy Brinkley was in this, had a cameo. Michael Irvin, Bill Romanowski, like a lot of old sports stars. John McEnroe gets in on the atheist arguing.
So many
cameos.
There's so many. This is okay. The only thing that I can think of on how this got made and how the people got involved with this is that it was something around the lines of how Movie 43 was made. Movie 43 is also one of the worst movies of all time. And it basically, like, it has so many big names in it. The only reason why that they're in it is because it started out with the director, the guy that plays Wolverine, I always forget his name.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman owed the director a favor So Hugh Jackman said, I'll be in your movie for like a little short thing. So then he used that Hugh Jackman was in the movie to get this other person. And then he continued to do that to get all of these people. Now, movie 43 is a movie. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not seen it.
It's fucking terrible. It's insultingly bad because... So Hugh Jackman plays a guy. Okay, this is the entire bit of this...
Okay.
Like, Hugh Jackman thing in the movie. Hugh Jackman is a millionaire. Playboy. Okay. And he's going on dates. He's going on a date with a girl, right? And he has a scrotum attached to his chin. That's the joke.
That's
it.
That's a movie.
Well, it's not the entire movie because it's like a sketch collaboration thing.
That's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But I want to go back. You're acting like this movie had a lot of big names in it.
No. Comparative to movie 43, no.
Because, I mean, if this was the mid-90s, Michael Irvin and Bill Romanowski would be big names.
Well, I say big names by, like, I feel like Katie Holmes is a big enough name to be recognizable, but Al Pacino, I think, is the main one, and Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Like, to have both of them in this...
I mean, the next highest one would be Drew Carey. Tim Meadows is not a big name. Dana Carvey is not a big name. Regis, maybe.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe Regis. Maybe Regis up there. But it's a lot of Shaquille recognizable O'Neal. People.
Yeah. It just made me angry, though. I'm like, fucking Norm MacDonald. When he came out, I just yelled, of course. Of course, another one. It's all of... No Rob Schneider.
They mention him.
They do mention him. They make fun of him. I'm surprised he wasn't in this movie. Billy Blanks is in it. That one angered me more than any of them. I was like, is that fucking Billy Blanks?
You were very upset with Billy Blanks being in this movie.
He faded away into obscurity like he should have, and he should stay there. Surprised they didn't just have the corpse of the fucking OxyClean dude. Just propped up over
Billy
there.
Mays?
Bill Mays. Or is he still alive in 2011?
Great question. Not sure.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Maybe they offered him this role, and he went, oh god, no one killed himself.
And like... there's so much humor in the movie. There's so much humor in the movie that's just...
That's a lie. That is a bold-faced
lie.
Well,
not humor, but trying to be humor that is just dumb shit thrown in.
Apparently her bird sweats as much as she does.
I was going to say, there's the sweating...
I'm gay.
The terrible callbacks.
It's okay. The
racism, the grandma eating peppers.
What the fuck was with the grandma eating peppers?
Because she's a Mexican, so they like peppers.
But they tried so hard to get you to laugh at that. They showed her every 2 seconds. Toothless eating a pepper. And I'm pretty sure was that a dude playing that grandma?
I think so. There's a lot of women in this movie that were men dressed up.
Yeah.
Because it's funny?
Apparently so. Let's make fun of, you know, the trans community.
Don't get it.
Adam Sandler's a jackass. But he doesn't know it.
Yeah. I think that Adam Sandler...
Well, I said, he didn't write this movie.
No, he didn't write the movie.
And he didn't... Yeah, he did not write this movie.
The guy that wrote the movie was that guy that did that...
The bear. Gay, Steam Bears.
Gay Bears.
Go gay. I read it...
Berenstain Bears get buck wild.
Which we watched the trailer for that. Not funny either.
No.
Really not funny.
I mean, maybe if I was a gay bear, would it
I
be
think
funny?
You'd
if
be
I was
insulted a... if you were a gay bear.
Oh, true, yeah. Because that did just.
I mean, you kind of are a gay bear. You're like a bear and you like penises.
But I don't like penises.
Since when?
You got me there.
Yeah, see? Don't knock until you try it, yo.
Oh, God.
We have tried so hard to not talk about this movie.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Plot-wise, there's not a lot to talk about.
There's nothing to talk
about.
They get on a fucking cruise
ship. Adam Sandler treats his sister like shit for no reason. He is not a good character in this, even though they want you to think he is.
Yeah.
He's a jackass that out of nowhere tells his sister he hates her. He wishes she wasn't there. She's annoying. He makes her cry all the time.
And like the sister character, the only thing that's with her is that that's like shown to you that's bad or annoying is her hygiene and she's ugly.
Yeah.
That's it, but...
Well, she answers her phone in the theater.
Yes. That's like it.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the time she's like...
She's a nice person that loves his kids, is all about family, wants them to bond because they're brother and sister and they love each other. She'd be like, oh, I remember this. I never did that. I never liked you. I'm like, what the fuck? Our main character's a douchebag.
It was kind of Adam Sandler just playing Adam Sandler.
Yeah, and it's not until Al Pacino threatens to put his penis in him that he realizes it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess Al Pacino is explaining the qualities of his sister that make her likable.
Yes.
Then Adam Sandler's like, oh, you're so right. I love my sister God. All of a sudden. No, you don't. You guys have been together for 40 years.
I was going to say.
Like, you are an asshole. And that's it. He's just a jerk. I don't get the logic of this film. I don't get David Spade. I don't get the guy with the weird eye that was sitting next to David Spade.
That's the guy that's been on all those Happy Madison.
Or fucking Tape Kid.
The Tape Kid thing was dumb. The Tape thing was only so that she could say that one line about connection.
Which didn't matter.
It didn't matter. It could have been Tape...
They just had that kid in there so they could make jokes about him being Indian.
Oh, also, am I the only person that thought that the kids that were supposed to be Jack and Jill at the very beginning when they were like babies, didn't they kind of look a little Mexican?
A little bit.
I was very confused.
What I was confused is when they showed them as babies with their big fake asses.
Yeah, that was never explained. I guess that was just a joke that they had big asses.
Well, you think they kept mentioning how they were womb mates. You think maybe they'll come back?
I don't know. Maybe, like, Jared Fogle, like, had a little bit of production with
it. He might have.
And he was just sitting behind there, and he's just like,
make it bigger.
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 Let's make this a foot long.
Oh. Too soon. I think he oiled him up with, like, the Southwestern... We talked about if we should mention Jared Fogle, and then realized the guy's a piece of shit. He gets what he deserves. So fuck him. Literally.
Oh my god. This, you know, I'm in kind of the same mental state as Pixels Part 1, honestly. I'm so, like, sickened by what
this movie does made me realize, like, well, Pixels had a plot. Pixels had, like, character arcs.
For the most part.
This one...
Kind of.
Kind of does, but I don't buy it. I don't buy that Adam Sandler's changed his ways and isn't going to treat his sister.
Yeah, because that's the only thing. Here's the thing, too. The only reason why that he changes his mind is because the person that he's trying to convince to be in his commercial...
Explains why he loves...
Explains, Jill. Yes.
Like, he doesn't come to a revelation... They're like, oh, Al Pacino's trying to use my sister. No, the commercial's not worth it. No, someone has to tell him, this is why you should love your sister.
And he's like, okay.
You're right, Al Pacino. Right. Who's a fucking stalker that breaks into the goddamn house looking for her? Sniffs her sheets.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And he gets in the sweat.
There's so many times in the movie we just went, no.
So overall, this is not only one of the most incompetent, terrible movies I've ever seen. This is the worst Adam Sandler movie I've ever seen. He didn't try with this at all.
I honestly believe that he knew this was shit, but he knew his name would sell it. And it unfortunately did. It made, what, $74 million?
Yeah. On a budget of $79 million.
I don't know where that budget was used. I guess for the cruise ship?
The cruise ship.
Al Pacino's paycheck?
And shit like that. Yeah.
I think they paid for... They couldn't even get the Lakers in it. They had to use stock footage of a Lakers-Kings game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fucking homeless guy. Maybe he was really homeless. I don't know. I like the homeless guy.
Ha ha ha, he's going to eat the parrot. He has it in bread. Flew in it.
Because he's homeless. We're going to make fun of homeless people.
0 out of 10.
Zero. Yeah. Absolutely give it a 0 out of 10. Don't watch it. Not that you would.
Because, this is the only reason why that I rented it. I rented Jack and Jill because I thought that it was going to be a bad movie that we could make fun of. But you can't make fun of it.
Nothing really happens in this movie to make fun of. It's predictable. The only time it threw us off was when they did the slow-mo of her walking down the stairs.
Oh, we thought, yeah.
And I said, she's going to fall down the fucking stairs. And she didn't. Wow. Kudos. You know, like, they swerved me. It was just predictable and boring. It is so boring. Yeah, I gave it a 0. I don't want to go negative. You know, eventually we're going to find something worse than this, where I'm going to have to go into the negatives now.
Yeah. What do we even give Pixels? I don't even remember.
Like a 1.2?
Yeah.
We were going to get Pixels lower, but at the time we're like, no, there's going to be something worse. Yeah. And
another Adam Sandler. But hey, we still have The Cobbler to watch.
Yeah, I feel like we need to do The Cobbler. It can't be worse than this.
Hey, Kyle.
You like it?
That's what I'm eating right now.
You're eating a pickle.
Why am I eating a pickle, Kyle?
To preserve yourself.
I have to preserve myself.
For all your body changes.
Because we're going cobbling.
We're going cobbling. Actually, we just went cobbling.
Pillages all over me.
Suck it up. Suck it up.
Alright, so we just watched The Cobbler.
We watched The Cobbler.
It wasn't worse than Jack and Jill.
No. No, I don't think much would be. If it was Adam Sandler just rolling in his own feces for an hour and a half, it wouldn't be worse than Jack and Jill.
Yeah, I'll agree with that statement.
Just naked and just... doing the Billy Madison voice. Stop looking at me so long.
It's like...
just smearing shit on himself.
If it's just like 8 Crazy Nights 2, but it's just him animated rolling in his own shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd still probably enjoy it a little bit more than...
at least there's some artistic... license you gotta give them. But now we cobbled.
We got our cobble on. I'm not sure if I liked this movie.
I know
you didn't like it.
But I think I have valid reasons you would agree with why I didn't like it.
Yes, and I definitely get your valid reasons.
It was a well-acted film.
Yeah,
it was not Happy Madison, thank God.
First of all the actors in this were great.
Yeah.
I really didn't have a problem with anybody. I mean, Adam Sandler can't fake cry for shit.
Oh, that was terrible.
Every time that he had a fake cry, it was
Shailene Woodley needs to teach him how to cry, because she's amazing. She's not in this, but she's an amazing... She should just be a stunt double. It should just cut to her as crying. They just splice in Fault in Our Stars for 2 seconds. Break it down, Lincoln.
Break it down, y'all. So The Cobbler, it's about a cobbler, yes.
He cobbles.
Well, it starts out, actually, I really enjoyed how the movie started out. Like, I really, really liked that entire sequence of where it's kind of the early immigrants, the early Jewish immigrants, and they're kind of telling a family tale. And
about the cobbling.
I don't know what that thing's called. It's a shoemaking device.
They say it in it. It's a spiker. Splicer?
Splicer.
Silencer.
Lacer.
Is it a lacer?
What's it called? A spindle?
Is it a lacer? Spindler?
Spindler?
It's something.
Whatever.
Yeah, all of you cobbler listeners, please.
Sorry.
Leave a comment. We didn't pay that much attention.
So this device, you find out later that by using this on the shoes of someone, you can literally...
Become them
for, you know... It's a play on the spend a day in somebody else's shoes... Etc. Etc.
Yeah, which I was okay with.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did a decent job with that story, in some parts.
Yes.
Others not so much.
I think probably really to start this out, I just want to talk about how this movie might have the worst ending ever.
Yeah.
Like, how can you go that hard?
They didn't know how to end it.
I
feel that way about a lot of the plot. I think that someone had, here's the story I want to do, but I only have half of it. Someone went, well, just throw the mob in there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it worked in the film, but I don't think it was needed in the film at all. Yeah.
So Max is a cobbler, and it starts out where the girl...
Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen, she is trying to save... It's the Lower East Side,
yeah. And
they're trying to buy out all of these historic...
businesses and houses.
Yeah,
and...
that are relatively historic there, but they want to turn them into big fancy-schmancy stuff.
Yeah, they never really say.
Oh, a paradise to put a parking lot.
Why? Why did you do that?
So she comes by Max and is like, hey, are...
No, hold on. Why did you... The what? Copyright shit. What are you doing?
What?
Oh, my God. Now we're going to get cobbled.
We're not going to get cobbled. We're
so getting cobbled. My Method Man's going to come and cobble the shit out of
us. M-E-T-H-O-D, man. M-E-T-H-O-D, man. What you going to do?
No.
You going
to sue? He goes by Cliff.
What you going
to... Cliff what? Method Man. That's how he was credited in this. Cliff Method Man
Oh,
Smith.
He was. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. He's old now, dude.
What are they going to do? Sue me?
I don't know. I might just joke you.
What are they just shoot me?
Yeah, just shoot you. No, he didn't shoot anybody.
I'll get us as many copyright strikes as I can.
I'd rather you not.
So kiss me.
Alright. Get back to cobbling.
So Carmen goes to Max.
Carmen goes to San Diego.
And is like, hey. God damn it. Hey, so... they're gonna fucking tear this shit down. You need to help me. And Max is like,
me, I'm not helping you. Me.
I want to leave. How much money will they give me?
Me.
But, you know, he's taking over a business for his dad, and his dad bailed on him. So he's bitter about his papa leaving. Leaving him and his mama.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just up and left.
Yeah, at first I thought that he was just dead.
Yeah, but he has that one line he said he skipped out on. It's the only good thing he was good at was skipping out on his family. Yeah. And Jimmy... the barber next door, played by Steve Buscemi, and all of his teethy glory, was like, no, Maxie, don't be saying that now.
Don't be saying that.
Your papa was good people.
Yeah. So, so Method Man's character.
Laszlo? Ludlow?
Leon Ludlow.
Ludlow.
Yeah, he is not a good dude.
No.
From the get-go, you understand he's not a good dude.
Big-time gangster.
Something.
I don't know.
It's not really explained what he does. It's weird because, like, you'd think that if he was a mobster, his house would be better. But he lives in, like, a really shitty apartment.
Yeah.
But
he's dealing with the mob.
Something.
And, I mean, from the get-go, he's just an asshole.
Yeah. So he gets his shoes and he's like, "Shoe man, I need these by fucking 6 p.m. Herb derb derb. So Adam Sandler is like, "You know what?" Or Max.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever. He.
Max Sandler. Adam Maxler.
Adam Maxler. He starts working on the shoes, but the machine breaks down. So he's like, you know what? I think that there's an old piece of shit in the basement that might still work. So he goes down there, and lo and behold, it does still work. And this is where he finds out that he can cobble. I'm just going to call it cobble. It's never, like, said what
the
thing is.
He cobbled before.
Did he cobble before that?
It was just that machine that broke was just an automated cobbler.
No, I'm talking about when you put your feet in their shoes and you become the person.
Oh, is that cobbling?
I'm calling that cobbling.
Okay,
that's what
I'm saying. Cobbling. Okay.
Yeah. So, this is the first time that he cobbles. And
I don't think that's what cobbling
just,
is.
But... we're just going to run with
I'm
it.
With you. I'm with you.
And he realizes that he can cobble.
So, yeah, he cobbles into a bunch of people.
Cobbles into... the main people that he cobbles into is Leon.
Little fat kid.
The little fat kid. A transsexual?
Yeah.
Is that the correct term?
I think so.
Sorry.
They don't really explain it.
Yeah.
We just see a guy with long hair and high heels.
Yes. And then...
a dead man?
A dead guy.
Which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I did like that. I was just like, oh my god, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. Because he's all rot. It's like a zombie. I enjoyed that.
And then there was the one, like, Playboy guy.
Yeah.
That guy. So, this is... okay. I'm not going to really break down the plot too much in terms of, like, before the Mafia stuff, because not really too much stuff happens.
There is a scene that I love that we should talk about.
Okay, we can talk about that first.
Okay, because his mom is old and dying, and she's sad. And he lives with her and takes care of her. And he asks her if she could have one thing in life before she died, what would it be? And she said to have dinner with your dad again. So Adam Sandler cobbles his dad's shoes, cobbles into his dad, and has this great night with his mom. And I thought it was very sweet, romantic. I wanted to see more of that in the movie. The good side of what he could do. And then he got really sad because the next morning, she passed away. So she got what she wanted in life and then she passed away.
Yeah.
So it was really sad. But it was a very touching and endearing, and very endearing scene. At the beginning, when his mom was there, I was like, I want him to put on his dad's shoes.
Yeah.
Like, I knew they would, but I really looked forward to that, and that was a very well-done scene.
Yeah. I will agree. I did like that a lot. So, the main problem with this movie is that they didn't handle the ideas correctly, in my opinion.
No. I think they handled them very poorly.
Yeah, before he does that with his mom and stuff, a big thing that happens is that he cobbles into Leon so that he can steal his watches.
He cobbles into this other guy so he can steal his car.
Cobbles into the one guy so that he can...
potentially have sex with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very selfish, just mean-spirited things he's doing.
I'm surprised that they did not have a scene where he cobbles into a girl and, like, feels her boobs.
I really expected that. If this would have been Happy Madison, he would have.
Yes, it definitely would have been in there.
Yeah, just, it was all very selfish, hurtful reasons. I'm just very, not what I thought they would do with the movie.
But the thing is, though, I kind of expected something like that to happen where he was using them for the wrong reasons. Cobbling
and solving the error of his ways?
Yeah, and then changed it, but that's never a resolution that happens.
It just snowballs.
It snowballs and then eventually
and then
he's able to use it for good.
Thanks to a plot device that they just throw in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Which, we'll get there. You're still cobbling your way through the cobbler.
So he's cobbling.
How many times we'll say cobbling in this?
Probably a lot. Somebody make tallies, please.
Oh, yeah.
So he's cobbling.
If you didn't already vomit after Jack and Jill.
So the main kind of meat to the story is that he gets involved with the mafia, essentially.
I guess.
There's this...
It's organized crime syndicate.
There's this lady that wants to have the building that they're trying to preserve. They want to... I guess she's trying to build something on there. She's trying to sell that land to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to do it by any means possible.
Was it Ellen Burstyn? Is that who played her?
Yes.
I'll check. You keep talking. Look at that. Breaking the wall down.
So, she's trying to get that by any means possible.
Ellen Barkin.
Who plays Elaine Greenwalt.
There's a lot of people in this movie, by the way. Just keep breaking that wall down.
And so,
scroll quite a ways.
She is trying to get Leon to kill the guy that is in the building.
He refuses to leave.
So she's like, take the fucking trash out. Because Adam Sandler, when he's cobbling as Leon, he goes there specifically so he could steal $50,000.
Steal $50,000.
Yeah.
This is after he broke into Leon's house, steal his watches, kidnapped him, tased him. So he went, then he went and stole $50,000. Then he came back, murdered Leon by accident.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, like, I'm like, what in the world are they doing with this movie? He just killed a man. And it's like, cheery comedy music. He's a murderer. He murdered a man.
That actually is funny because there's no repercussions for the murder of Leon.
None whatsoever.
Like, nothing bad happens.
At the end of the movie, they kind of, like, laugh it off.
Yeah.
I mean, even one point, he does try to turn himself into the cops.
Yes.
But when they get there, the body's gone. It's all cleaned up. If you didn't know Annie, he kind of put it two and two together when, like, all of his stuff's gone. And police just let him go at that point. No, file a false claim. Nothing like that, because that's not illegal. And his all of his stuff that he left at the crime scene is at his shop.
Yep. And yeah, he just he murders Leon because Leon's trying to kill him, and then he's wearing the high heels.
But Leon will refuse to shoot him, even though he's holding a gun, and I'm going to choke you.
I'm going to choke you.
Shoot him.
So he slams the stiletto heel in his throat and kills him.
And not comedy kill, it's kind of brutal.
He died.
Yeah, he's dead. We see a zombie later.
So, I just can't get over it. I really can't get over the entire part where...
Oh, the cops just go back to the apartment.
Yeah,
he's not in cuffs.
Yeah, he's not in handcuffs or anything. He goes to the police department and is just like, hey, I murdered someone. And they're just like, ha, sit over there.
Yeah.
And it's like not a... Yeah.
That's New York. They're used to it. That's bad. I'm bad.
Poor New York people.
Yeah. And I love New York.
New York doesn't love you.
That's fine.
After that statement,
that's
you
fine.
Have been annexed.
I love them. I just want to give him a big old hug.
Oh, what did you do out of slices?
They hate you now, too.
But they're pizzerias.
Yankees suck.
Oh.
But I love the Mets. So I got half New York there. Maybe like a quarter. Mm. Now they got to the World Series, so I have like three quarters. Anyway, cobbler.
I digress.
I cobble. So Method Man's dead.
So Method Man is dead.
After the RZA cameo you saw.
Yes, the RZA is in this movie. He was the only other member of the Wu-Tang Clan I saw, but he was playing basketball. It was very much so the RZA.
Wasn't Steve Buscemi in the Wu-Tang Clan?
Oh, he has to be an honorary member.
He is like an old dirty bastard. He really is. So, Dustin Hoffman, wasn't he in there?
The Hoff?
I was surprised Dustin Hoffman was in this. You don't see him do much anymore.
He really doesn't, and he did a really nice performance.
He's really good.
Despite the writing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, after he murders him in cold blood, he goes back, and he's like, fuck. I have this money still. I'm gonna have to take this money back.
So let me take it back to the mob boss, because that'll end well.
Yeah, he goes, he cobbles into the transsexual, and gives the money, and is just like, here's your fucking money back, because Leon's not gonna take out the trash. So they knock him out and put him in the car, because it's
they're gonna
the
take
mob.
Him somewhere and kill him.
Oh, actually, we didn't talk about one thing that happened before this.
Oh, you were getting to the funny scene of the movie.
When he cobbles into Leon, remember, because this has to do plot-wise at the end, before he goes and gets the money from the lady, they're like, we need to make a stop real fast. So they go, they go to this warehouse or something. And there's this guy they're calling affectionately Rat Prick.
His name's Patrick. They're calling him Rat Prick. Yeah.
And
they're beating the hell out of this dude. They're going to kill him.
And so he's like, fuck, what do I do? And he's just like,
say you're sorry.
Say you're sorry. All right, I believe you. You can let him go. And they're just like, what the fuck do you mean we can let him go? And he's like, just do it. I'm the boss.
I'm the boss.
And then he leaves. And okay. It'll come back later. That's why I had to add it. So he takes the money, and they knock him out, and he's in the car, and...
This scene made me laugh.
This scene actually was pretty funny.
He wakes up in the back seat. He has for some reason, put his whole bag of shoes with him back there. He kicks his shoes off and puts on the dead man's shoes, and just scares the hell out of him as a zombie in the back seat. And then the kids...
Yeah.
They wreck the car. He gets out, and some kids are on a skateboard, like, oh, and he just comes out in full zombie. Like he's just moaning because he's dead. He can't talk.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny to me.
The way that they...
I laughed legitimately at an Adam Sandler movie.
The thing about the Coblin was that the instances were when they were supposed to be humorous, they were actually humorous.
They were, yeah, it worked.
There's another scene, it's a very small scene, but where when he's first Coblin, he cobbles into the Playboy and... There's the whole scene where his girlfriend's in the shower naked, and he's seeing her, and she's just like, come in the shower. And then he stopped, like, he's taking his clothes off, and he stops because of his shoes. Oh, that was, you know.
I don't know why the little thing in that scene is like, I can't. And it's like this fancy apartment he's never been in. He's like feeling the walls.
Yeah.
Because he can't, like, the doors were really weird. He's like, I don't know how to get out. I don't know how to get out of here. Yeah.
And then when he uses the various shoes to track, like, Leon's character.
I thought that was like a nice, the editing was really well done in this. Mm-hmm. But a scene at the end, which we won't spoil yet, but in the mirror.
Oh, yes.
In the barber shop. So I just spoiled it. But whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to spoil it anyway. I thought it was well done.
Well, yeah, actually. So the big reveal comes after this, like,
this whole convoluted, I'm going to pretend to be Solomon, then I'm going to pretend to be these people, then I'm going to pretend to be this person, then the news is here.
Well, wait, because we get the reveal of the barber, though. Oh, wait.
No, that's after all this.
Oh, shit, that's after this. I forgot. Yes, you are
correct.
Yeah,
after this it's very...
Okay, so...
unnecessary to this film.
This is where the movie really starts to fall apart.
And
like,
everyone
really
in this movie wears a size 10 and a half shoe.
Yeah, that was
kind of... I don't know why I had an issue with that.
I don't think... Do I wear a size 10 and a half?
I don't wear a 10 and a half.
I think I wear a 10 and a half, actually.
Dude, you freaking... How do you not know what size shoe you wear?
I could cobble.
How do you not know what size shoe you wear?
I don't know.
Maybe you're Adam Sandler right now.
I've had...
Take your shoes off. You don't have shoes on.
I don't have shoes on.
Okay.
I'm not actually...
Well, I don't wear a 10 and a half.
I'm fairly certain I wear a 10 and a half, so that means that I could cobble.
I have a beefy 13.
Well, no, here's the thing.
You're like, that's beefy.
I never used to know... Okay, this is going to be a little
but
tangent.
You never knew your shoe size?
Let me explain.
This
because
is the saddest thing
here's
ever
the thing.
Heard.
Okay. When I was a kid...
My mommy bought me my shoes.
No, that's not what it is. It's just when I was a kid...
My mommy bought me my shoes.
I was like, the big... Like, you know when there's, like, the big kid? You know, the kid that's not...
The husky kid?
No, not necessarily. I didn't really get husky until I was, like, 13 and started playing nothing but fucking Mega Man. Like, this is pre-huskiness.
Okay.
I was kind of, like, the big dude, you know? I was tall... And I had kind of longer arms and stuff like that.
What happened?
I know, right?
They just stopped growing.
What happened was is that I hit like 14 and then hormones were like, that's enough.
That's enough.
And so I've had little fucking baby hands and little feet and stubby arms for the rest of my life because hormones just decided to just say, fuck it.
I love your hormones then.
So I had like really big shoes and then I don't know, like I started, I guess it all started from... I just bought random shoes that I liked at Goodwill, and a lot of them were, like, too big, and I was like, man, I'll grow into it, and I never, like, grew into them. So, like, for a long time, I just didn't know my shoe size.
How do you not know it now? You're an adult.
I'm pretty sure it's 10 and a half.
How do you...
But on a good day, I think I can squeeze into 11.
How do you not know?
And on a bad day, I feel like I probably could squeeze into, like, a 10.
Your shoes, like feet don't work that way.
Sometimes they do.
No. No, they don't.
Well, then there was also a period of time where...
You were a cobbler's nightmare.
I bought, like, European shoes.
Those are different sizes.
Yeah, and I just kind of guesstimated on it, so...
There's a conversion.
Kyle, sometimes I like to live my life with a little bit of wonder in it.
Like, I just think you're an idiot, and you don't know what size fucking shoe you wear.
I just said it's 10 and
No,
a
you
half.
Said I'm pretty sure it's 10
because
and a half.
Because I don't have 100% confirmation on it if it's
That's
10 and a half.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard. I know what size shoe I wear. I don't need to look down and confirm it.
It could be an 11.
I'm not an 11. You know why? Because I buy shoes.
I haven't bought shoes.
And I know what size they are.
I can't even remember
because
the last
I am an
time.
Adult. And I buy shoes.
Let me see. The last time I bought
shoes. Not that long ago, because Lowovery made you buy new shoes.
Oh, that's right.
Aha.
Oh, that's right.
What size did you buy? I hate you. This is such a tangent where no one gives a fuck about your... Your shoe size.
No, I forgot the little Wolverine made me buy new shoes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I hope she listens to this and just changes her mind about you.
What?
I can't be with somebody who doesn't even know what size shoes they wear. What size shoe does she wear? You're gonna know this, and that's gonna make it even worse.
No, I don't know what size
she probably
shoe
wears. Like a 2.
Probably, yeah.
Baby shoes.
Just a little fucking bit. I know her ring size. And I know her shirt size.
Do you know your shirt size?
Yeah, Kyle, because I buy t-shirts.
Oh, you don't buy shoes, apparently. Oh,
fuck you. Okay, so...
Do you not buy socks? Because socks sizes are based off your shoe size.
Socks aren't a fucking size.
They absolutely
do. I've never bought socks specifically and looked at the sizes of the socks.
They absolutely have sizes on them.
Who does that? Who would what?
Human beings do that.
I don't understand.
So you look on socks that says for shoe sizes, and there's a fucking number on it.
Well, I buy all my fucking girl shoes at girl socks at fucking Goodwill. God damn it. I just guesstimate and hope that I get good socks.
Where the fuck
socks.
Are we in this movie? I'm done bitching at you.
So,
Mafia Coblin.
The movie starts to fall apart when...
with all the Mafia stuff.
Yeah, the Mafia stuff. Basically, he somehow puts two and two together because of reasons I don't know.
Yeah, he looks at a flyer on his counter that says, "Save Mr. Solomon," his building. He's like, "Oh, God, no." And then it, like, rehashes dialogue. He's like, here's half your money to take out the trash.
And somehow he knows that it's...
That Solomon means they're going to burn down this guy's building.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I almost feel like they cut a scene out.
Yeah.
So it was kind of important for this plot convenience they just threw in.
It was just so weird. It was so weird.
I mean, when you have to do the flashback dialogue like that, you're either really clever and it was hidden throughout it, like Usual Suspects, I'll leave it at that because Lincoln hasn't seen that, or you failed and you have to explain yourself.
Yeah.
It's like Pixels or any Seth MacFarlane movie where after they say a joke, he has to have a character explain the joke. God help me if we... when we watch a certain Seth MacFarlane movie. We're recording that sumbitch one day.
So, he...
It's happening.
So, there. Then he he tells Solomon about his cobble ability.
Apparently.
Yeah, because it's never on screen. That was one thing that really...
And does
I was
Carmen
confused.
Know about it?
Yes, I think so.
No. You would think she would, but at the end when she comes in his place, she goes, "How did you do it?" And he wouldn't tell her.
Then why the fuck... But
how
he
did
was
this plan work?
But he was literally in Solomon's office and, like, it wasn't on screen, but it was implied that
he... So basically, he goes into Solomon's house. He goes, "I have an idea. Give me your shoes." So he cobbles into Solomon, meets with the lady, says, "Give me $100,000 and a bus ticket to Chicago." Like, alright, so Solomon leaves with one of her henchmen. Then the henchmen come over to get Solomon at the apartment, which is Adam. Now, he makes him take the shoes off so Max can steal their shoes.
Yes.
Then Max pretends to be Leon to lure one of the guys into the empty building. He takes him hostage, puts his shoes on so he can make a phone call to the lady, who then... somehow there was a phone call to the police to stop the other henchman and the real Solomon at the station, because the police stop him. The real Solomon gets away, but then Adam Sandler cobbles into Solomon, and the lady comes in and talks to him, and he has a news crew there to catch her threatening to kill him.
Yes.
That seriously happened in a matter of like 7 minutes in the movie.
It's super fast.
The most convoluted doesn't need to happen... I might have missed a cobble or two in there. I won't lie. I might have missed them.
I was trying to think if that was 100% what happened. I'm prayerly certain it was.
And I have... prayerly? What the hell does that even mean?
You know, like, when you're, like, a little bit more than fairly.
Okay,
like
just when you prayerly. Yeah, I got you. I'm with you. That part really is where I'm like, this movie hit a fucking wall. Where they got to a point, they go, "We don't know what to do," and they fucked it up with that. But then it gets worse, because he saved the day.
It just keeps going downhill.
And then Leon apparently beat the hell out of his girlfriend at the time.
Yeah, he was, like, super abusive, so he cobbles into Leon, well, zombie Leon, because
he's dead. He's dying a little bit.
So he gives her all of the watches and stuff, and is like, you know, "Sell these, blah, blah, blah.
You deserve better than me, sell these."
So then he goes out, and some guy's like, you got a light?" And he's like, "No, I don't." He's like, "Well, I have one." Pulls out a gun. And he
gets in a car, and then Rat Prick is in the car. And they're like, "We're going to kill you." And then it gets in a car wreck. Like, a car T-bones him.
I would like to say that the Rat Prick thing was stupid, by the way.
It served no purpose.
It served no purpose. And I thought that Rat Prick... I was hoping with that scene that he was going to get in the car and it was going to be Rat Prick. And then Rat Prick was going to, like, thank him or something. And then just, like...
No, instead it's he should have really let this guy die.
Yeah.
So, and then a car T-bones him.
And so then it just fades to white.
It fades to white, and then Adam Sandler wakes up in the barbershop.
Steve Buscemi.
Where Steve Buscemi proceeds to take his shoes off and show him that he is, in fact, his father. After trying to force pickles down his throat because pickles will preserve you for all the body changes.
Kyle. Pickle?
No pickle. I don't want a pickle.
But you need a pickle.
I don't want it. Why do you mean I need a pickle?
You need a pickle.
Why do I need a pickle?
Because when you jump between bodies, you have to preserve yourself.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that you're a cobbler.
Yeah, I know. I've been doing it for years. I've been since my dad left, because he's a prig. Oh my god,
I'm your dad.
What?
Yeah.
Did that need to be in the movie? No. Because apparently his dad got in some trouble, much like Adam Sandler, Max was.
Yeah.
So his dad, as Jimmy, is the one that went and took the body out of the apartment, cleaned it up. Like, it's no big deal. He's the one that wrecked into the car.
Well, is this supposed to be implied that his dad was in the mafia?
Or, I don't know.
Because
I took that with the limo.
Yeah. Okay, the limo, the fact that he was able to hide the body, the fact that he slammed in the car, and, you know, saying that he got in trouble, blah, 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 and how else would he pay for somebody to go to the Bahamas so that he could be them?
Unless he was an asshole and used the cobbler to steal a bunch of money as well.
True. Because then the big
reveal...
He has
a basement full of shoes. This dude's still cobbling.
Yeah. So the big reveal at the end is that the barber is his dad, and Adam Sandler is now a cobbler, and he is a keeper of souls. How do they say
keeper
it?
Of souls.
Keeper of souls.
Because they had, like, hundreds of pairs of shoes, one of them being Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Could be where he got the money.
Yeah.
Just pretended to be Jeter and cash a paycheck.
And
then they go and get in his dad's limo and drive to Brooklyn.
And while they're driving to Brooklyn, he's explaining that there's, like, all the other professions
that are
stuff like that.
Yeah, dry cleaners and barbers.
Barbers do something.
Well,
I don't know.
No, he says barbers are always trustworthy and your friends. The one you have to worry about is dry cleaners. They're rude. And then Adam's saying, like, is this other people that can do this? And then he's like, well, back way. And then he starts telling a backstory as it fades out.
Oh, that's right.
About cobbling.
But so is the cobble ability, is that only for that, like, that family, or is that just, like, a secret cobble?
They made it sound like it was passed down through the generations.
Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Very sneaky, sis. I'll just bring it back. The third act of this movie just fails. Where I think this movie would have been really good is if it stuck to the, we need your help, please sign this petition to save local businesses. And he goes, I can do good things with these shoes.
Mm-hmm.
He does end up doing good things with this, but I think he accidentally falls into it. Honestly.
Yeah, it's not really a willingness.
It just
thing.
Happens to coincide with him saving his own ass from all the shit he stole.
Mm-hmm.
It's two stories that happen to overlap. I still feel like he did it for selfish reasons. He just gets redeemed accidentally in the end.
Yeah. Gets with the girl, all that jazz.
I mean, the first things he does is rob people. He cobbles into Leon so he could stop a dude, basically at gunpoint, and say, give me your shoes. Just so he could steal his car.
And there's no repercussions from it. That's my biggest thing, is that his character does stuff that with no bad...
Well, and things. Here's... This might be digging deep, but he's cobbling into real existing people. What is he doing to these people's lives?
Yeah, like, think of the guy that
Marsha is fucked.
The guy that went to the, like, he goes to the restaurant as this one guy, orders a fuck ton of food.
And then bails.
And then just bails.
That guy can never go to that restaurant again.
Yeah.
Or the transgender. Just really pissed off the mob.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were these shoes, did his dad plant these shoes? Because he made it seem like he paid all these people to leave. Because one of them was Jeter.
Yeah, all of them were just random shoes that were in there, remember? Because he realizes that you can't just do it with any other shoe.
He realizes that everyone wears a size 10 and a half.
And everybody wears a size 10 and a half.
So I really see the big picture of him. Like, that little kid, he had a little kid be the one that was interrogating and tied up the gangster Leon. What if he got what he wanted and got the watches at that point and left?
Then the
next time
that Leon saw the little kid,
he's going to shoot him.
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler is going to, hey, I got 50 grand, but there's a dead kid because of you.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that, it's lighthearted and ironic, but really, the character's not a good person.
Yeah, and I was hoping that he was going to start out not as a good person, but then get redeemed.
And he showed no signs of redemption.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen.
He fell into redemption.
Yeah.
He didn't go out of his way. He didn't realize the error in his ways. And I thought he would after he did the nice gesture for his mom and realize I can do good things with this.
Well, one thing that I...
But his mom dies and they go, you should get a nice headstone. He's like, I'll rob a gangster.
Yep.
What? Why would you...
Oh, yeah, we didn't say that was the reason why I needed the money.
Yeah, his mom passed away. He needed a headstone.
So he decides to steal money.
Why not do better? I don't know.
Well, what I was hoping with the... If I were to redo this movie, I would have made it so that you find out that Steve Buscemi is his dad.
I wouldn't have had the murder.
I would have had him stealing stuff, but I wouldn't have had a murder, obviously. And then his dad just being like, you need to use this for good. And then Adam Sandler's like, well,
and he uses it positively to help save the community.
Yeah.
From a normal renovation, not the mob.
Yeah, the mob.
I would have taken all the mob and gangster stuff out.
And just had it just.
And he's just doing petty, selfish things. I'm going to change this guy so I can have sex with this girl. I can do this and that. Yeah, and Steve Buscemi's like, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't do this. And he used it for good. They set up a plot line where he could have done it for good.
Mm.
But instead they didn't. So.
Yeah.
Can I say this movie is as bad as the reviews it gets? Absolutely not.
This is like the first time I feel like I have to defend the reviews of an Adam Sandler movie.
This has a worse Metacritic score than Pixels.
Which that's
This rough. Movie's not insulting. It's well acted. It's my God help me. The fault of this movie is poor writing, not Adam Sandler.
Yeah. I mean, Adam Sandler's shown time and time again that he can act if he wants to act.
If other people are telling him what to say and do.
If he's not good. Actually writing it, and he's...
This movie could have been a lot better, but I don't regret watching it.
Yeah.
Would I watch it again? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I don't regret it at all. I was really enjoying it until
the end mob stuff really... came.
Like, I was... Yeah. I just really didn't like it then.
I'd probably give it, like, a 4.2 cobbles.
I was gonna give it, like, a 4.9 or 5. Okay. Like, dead center.
Okay. I think that I was just let down so much by the ending that it really tarnished.
I'd say the mob thing hit me but I thought the performances were good.
Other than the crying.
Yeah, the good things he does really stand out to me. The Carmen character with this little, she's in it. I loved her.
Yeah, she was great.
I really wanted more of
her. She had a lot of character to her as well.
I liked her a lot. I would like to see her in more things.
I've never seen her in anything.
Yeah, else, so. As far as I know, I haven't. It's Melanie Diaz is who played her.
Yeah, got on.
Method Man was good. Yeah, I mean, the last thing I saw him in was How High. You know, so...
Step up.
The big step up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you're curious on Netflix, check it out. It's not the greatest thing, but it's far better than a lot of things on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. You're fucking up.
Your horror movie selection sucks.
It is pretty bad. Well, they have some good stuff, though. Like Reanimator.
Yeah, but then they have Houses October Built and Twixt.
If you haven't checked it out, we did, in October, we did 31 Days of Halloween. A lot of those movies were on Netflix that we did watch.
The majority of them were on Netflix.
Some of them shitty. Some of them not shitty.
There's only a few shitty ones we watched. There were some surprising ones we enjoyed.
So, yeah, check that out.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed our Coblin experience.
Hi, Adam Sandler double feature.
Boop, boop. Does this mean we have to watch Grown Ups now?
I think we should do the entire Happy Madison collection.
I'm not just going to kill you, Kyle. I'm going to choke you.
Please do.